The national numbers from 2019 show a slight reduction in the numbers of homeless people reported across the country. But the West Coast bucks the trend. Homelessness appears to be on the rise here. All aspects of society focus on the issue, including art. Arcata Playhouse recently reworked a play it debuted a couple of years ago called A Woman's Place is in Her Home. A Northern California tour was scheduled for the retooled play based on the experiences of local homeless people. The tour has been canceled over coronavirus concerns, but we can still explore the creation and the updating of A Woman's Place is in Her Home. Our guest is Allie Friedland, who is a Humboldt Bay storyteller, activist, and co-playwright on A Woman's Place in Her Home with Jacqueline Dandino and Tammy Rae Scott. Allie, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
I'm happy to be here this morning.
I'm sorry to hear about the tour being put off, but that is the nature of the world at this moment, isn't it?
Yes. We were all heartbroken. We had put a lot of effort into, you know, setting everything up and getting everything together to go and do, especially in this particular tour, some high school shows and reaching out, building empathy through the arts in the high school students. And in particular, because I had been a high school teacher in the 90s, I was really excited for this. And we'd done some shows, but anyways, this is the way we all have to operate these days, is being very careful. We have a couple of, I guess you would call them septuagenarians, over 70 years old, in their late 70s, women. And we were going to be traveling in a bus, among other things, so we'd be in close quarters. Yeah, so we had to take the stance where it just wasn't a good time to go on tour.
Makes sense. It was the prudent move, it would seem. Yeah, especially with the bus travel. Let's go back though and talk about the creation of A Woman's Place is in Her Home. It was certainly a push to do something about homelessness that you all felt. But how did the stars align for the project?
Okay, well, Playhouse Arts is sort of the nonprofit arm of the venue, which is Arcata Playhouse. I want to just mention that. And Playhouse Arts had been doing what we call a stories project. So we've been exploring different kinds of community stories, expressly trying to give voice to the voiceless or the underheard populations in our community. So we've done... We did a loggers project. We did a veterans that project, which we called Echoes of War. And, you know, as probably everybody who is listening understands, the homeless population has just been increasing, and the problems associated with people not having homes are everywhere. And we really, in particular, wanted to reach out to the women who are not usually the face, even though there's so many women who are homeless. It's often more difficult, it's more dangerous for them to be on the streets in flying signs and things like that. And it's got its other host of problems with safety and hygiene and things that were, you know, kind of not as told as much as, say, the veteran homeless population that people are kind of have in their minds.
Yeah, there's a lot of focus on dealing with veterans' homelessness in particular and special grants for them and all that sort of thing.
Right. So we targeted women and families, women with children. And the way we did it was to begin with, first research just on what was going on in our county, and then story circles. We tried to engage. We worked with, first we worked with two nonprofit groups that serve women and other homeless people in our community. And one is Food for People, and the other one is Arcata House Partnership. And they were absolutely essential and supportive of this whole process in setting us up with people we could interview and setting us up with places where we could hold our story circles, to just sort of break down the barriers of the housed and the people without houses. And it was amazing working with these two groups. You know, in terms of what we're doing as a theater group, it's trying to be, you know, kind of demonstrate for the the regular person walking the streets who might come into the theater, you know, what the issue is and the challenges are. But what those people do every day is just amazing. Every day they are out there serving huge populations of people without homes and people with a lot of other challenges in their life, be it medical or physical or relational or mental problems, you know. So it's it was quite an amazing thing to be a part of their process for the last couple years. So from there, I will just say we, from our interviews, we transcribe our interviews, and we would also be reaching out to the women who came to these story circles or who we found through other means to do private interviews, to see if any of them would be interested in actually being a part of the show. So this was an amazing part, too. However, much more difficult because of their, trying to rehearse with somebody who doesn't have a home is very difficult. And even though we would put them up for a while, it was, you know, they're dealing with such huge challenges. So some of our cast at the time we began the rehearsals and our first shows in 2018 were homeless, and most of the cast had been at one point in their lives. And so we did not want people to portray their own story, with the exception of one, because we felt it would be too triggering and traumatizing. But we collected all these stories and had actors tell stories that were the most difficult. And we had other women who had been homeless or were homeless in the play also playing roles. And we had ensemble pieces, and we all bonded, as you can imagine, over this whole experience in learning from each other about each other's lives. And what, you know, I guess one of my big takeaways is that I had no idea the kind of pipelines to homelessness. I work professionally somewhere else. Theater is sort of like a creative pursuit that I just feel I have to do. But the pipelines, the things like prison to homelessness pipeline, the things like foster care, anybody who's been in the foster care system, especially in the past, you know, to homelessness, obviously mental injury and trauma. We learned about the kind of way of saying many people are mentally injured and not necessarily mentally ill. So we built sort of our scenes around kind of those larger topics, those larger sort of pipeline topics. Domestic abuse is definitely in there. And we had a child at the time who was 7 be a part of the process, and all the way up to women who were, like I told you, in their late 70s. So yeah.
A whole lot of people. And we're talking to Allie Friedland here on the Jefferson Exchange, who is one of the three playwrights of A Woman's Place Is in Her Home, which debuted 2 years ago and has been reworked. It was intended for a tour. The tour has now been canceled, but the show was still ready to roll when conditions in the microbiological world allow. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Allie, is this very different from anything you've worked on before, in the sense that, I mean, you're basically telling the stories of people who are there with you?
I think, the Veterans Project was different because the Echoes of War Project, they told their own stories. Mm-hmm. And we coached them through, you know, ways to tell their own stories of coming home. And that was quite an emotional and challenging project. But this one, because we were also telling other people's stories and showing audio material and showing video material of places we went and where people lived, it was so challenging emotionally for all of us to feel like we needed to get this right. We didn't, you know, theater is is a funny thing. You don't want to over-portray something. You don't want to under-portray it. You want to make sure you get everything. And so we've learned so much along the way. And I think our first shows, which were just for the homeless so that we can get that feedback, we were all so concerned about it. And the feedback was extraordinary. Everybody said, we nailed so many things. This was so great. This was so important. We had, the audience was crying. We had talkbacks after each show and learned how to, you know, insert some other things and adapt it as we went along in the last couple of years. So it was very different. Mm-hmm. It was, and I have to say, every single person in the cast, whether they were homeless, had been homeless or had never been homeless, had their eyes completely open to this new way of dealing with their own responses to the homelessness crisis.
But now you reworked the show for this year, is that right?
Yes. We haven't actually gone into rehearsal. That was going to be this week. But we each, we've had, let's see, one, two, three. This would be the fourth run. Mm-hmm. So the first run was just based on our interviews. We heard during our feedback that we needed to, include our the tribal population. So we put that in the first run in terms of, you know, they're the original home. You think of...
Right. When you talk about homelessness, it's nice to talk
about... Homelessness, yeah. They have been... It's a completely other term in their mind. This was their home, and in many cases were taken away from it, and that was a whole nother piece that we put in. Then we also we only did shows at the venue, the Arcata Playhouse in Arcata, that time, except for one show. Actually, that's not true. I'm remembering it. 2 years ago is not that long ago. We did a show in Eureka for a that was based on community organizing around homelessness and poverty, and then we did a show at our junior college, our College of the Redwoods. But mainly, we did shows at the Arcata Playhouse that first time, and then we did want to take it on a tour and see how that went. Everybody was so excited because of the feedback that we got, which basically said, you need to take this everywhere. Everywhere needs to see this. Even though it came from our county, they wanted us to go and train police with the show. They wanted us to go into, different communities, different schools. The high schools were in particular mentioned, high school students need to know this. This is where it starts, building empathy, because I'm not sure how much people are aware, but the high school population of homelessness is also huge right now, and it's growing, which is a shocking thing.
Yeah, we've noticed that in a couple different counts, that the numbers of homeless students are very high.
Yeah. So in the fall of that year, the first run was in the spring. In the fall of that year, we included a tour of some smaller towns and a high school show, and that went, and along with that, we kind of created a workshop called Building Empathy Through the Arts with high school students, where they could choose whether they wanted to be in a workshop that was going to focus on visual arts or through music or the theater arts or through movement. And then we would get them all back together and watch each other's presentation. And at the time, we only had an hour. So that changed, as that has changed. And on this tour, we were going to have an hour and a half, basically, to go through those workshops. And the show itself was only an hour. We cut it down. Mm-hmm. For like a class.
Okay, so it's a bit to make more of a talk back out of it, it sounds like.
Right. Mm-hmm. And our experience then was, wow, personally, my experience was, I just want to keep doing this with high school students. I really think that their fresh view of the world, they have amazing capacity to, you know, not be blocked in how they perceive what the solutions could be or what, you know, how we can expand. Their ideas, you know, in brainstorming are amazing. And I really feel like we need to give power to our high school students and college students so much for these kinds of bigger issues and, you know, policy making and things. As you know from the whole gun control issue, the high school students have been very motivated, mm-hmm. and it's been powerful.
It's been interesting to watch, but this is, you know, one of the issues, as you point out, with dealing with issues is that they can seem so intractable. You know, that no matter how hard people work, homelessness, for example, seems to resist our efforts to put an end to it. I mean, the materials you sent out with the tour remind people that HUD instructed people to come out with 10-year plans to end homelessness, and that was more than 10 years ago. So,
right.
So here we are still talking about it, and I just wonder what that feels like both for you creating and delivering a woman's places in her home and for the audiences you give it to.
I think, you know, some of the hardest feedback were people that came hoping that the show itself would actually have solutions, and that wasn't our focus at all. The focus was, these are people. These are our people in our community. These are people that need smiles every day. These are people that are not to be avoided, neglected, and I think the hardest part would be in our talkback sessions, people that would be like, what do we do? What do we do? And we would be like, treat people as humans. And here, this is a list of resources that you can support. And here, this is a list of things that you yourself could do. You could make Ziploc baggies full of warm socks and, you know, water bottles and, you know, things that are essential, like for women, hygiene products, you know, shampoos and things that you get that you don't even think about that are really wonderful gifts to get, candy bars, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, protein bars. And you could make, if you really wanted to, you could make a whole box of Ziploc bags full of things and hand them out. And
think of ways in which you can treat them as humans and give them stuff. We have just a few seconds left here, Allie. Any consideration of when the tour might happen? Are you just going to wait for the whole virus situation to settle out?
We are meeting actually tonight as a cast and hope to nail that down. We don't know. It will depend on people's schedules because everybody has their own job.
Sure.
Out there. Well, almost everybody, mm-hmm. I should say, has
right.
their own job out there, and we have to kind of coordinate the whole thing again.
Okay. The project again is called A Woman's Place is in Her Home. It debuted 2 years ago at Arcata Playhouse and then went on the road. It was going to go on the road again. It's been reworked, as you hear. Allie Friedland is one of the three people who get playwriting credit with Jacqueline Dandenault and Tammy Ray Scott, but a lot of other people involved in the creation of it. Allie, thanks so much for joining us to share the story.
Oh, you're most welcome. Anytime.
All right. Take care.